Grace to you and peace from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the first epistle of John, beginning with chapter 2, verse 28, and reading through 3:10. It's 1 John chapter 2, 28. And we read in Jesus' name. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Amen. The apostle instructs us to abide in the Lord. Brother Will read from the gospel text for this Sunday, how Jesus left his disciples there. The disciples were wondering probably what is going to happen to them. But we now live in the hope of the resurrection, and in that we abide. There we find our peace and our comfort, our solace in times of trouble. And that's where we find the Apostle John writing to his little children. The little children who are awaiting with great expectation, as we are, for the second coming of the Lord. We live now in that reality of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. This is a beautiful text. Goes without saying, it's from the Word of God. It gives us great comfort, even as we begin, as it is addressed to us as little children. It seats us at the feet of Jesus as his children. But at the same time, there are difficult things to understand in this text. Difficulties that we run up against as a Christian, knowing our sinfulness, but yet knowing God's grace in Christ Jesus. Even as we are exhorted earlier in this epistle, that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But then we read in our text this morning that we do not commit sin if we are in Christ Jesus. And a parent contradiction in the word? No, it cannot be. The contradiction or the consternation that we may have of reading things like this abides in our hearts and our minds and not in the word. So as little children this morning, we will hear what the Lord has to say for us, to us, through John, the beloved apostle. As we begin, and now, little children, abide in him. The writings of the apostle John are so reflective of the gospel that he was inspired to write. Even as we read the words of Jesus recorded by John in the 15th chapter of his gospel about abiding in the true vine, this thought, this theme runs through the apostles' writings as we abide in Jesus, even as he instructed his disciples and those who were under the hearing of his word to abide or to remain in him. Remain in him, that when he shall appear, this is our hope, that when Jesus returns, he will find us not wanting. He will find us not ashamed. He will not find us cowering in fear, wondering, questioning, are we fit, as it were, to see the Savior? But no, rather, we would be confident and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The message of the gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto, or looking forward to, salvation. That's how you are kept. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that although you are a sinner, God's grace in Jesus Christ is far greater than all of your sin. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. This word doeth here, we run into this a few times in the text. We run into doeth and committeth. There's a few different ways that we could look at this, and we'll probably look at it when we get to those words. But this word can also be looked at as one who would commit righteousness. And how do we commit righteousness? If it is indeed committing righteousness, how can we commit righteousness? We know that in the Bible there are different meanings behind the word righteousness. The first and the most important is the righteousness that we have, which is of faith in Jesus Christ. That righteousness which accounts us as his children. But as I said earlier, we are now living in the reality of the resurrected Jesus Christ as he gave his disciples power. That power has also then been given to us in the church, that we would abide in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in that righteousness that we commit or we practice righteous deeds for the benefit of our neighbor to the glory of the Father. If ye know that he is righteous, then everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. John chapter 3, I suppose I wouldn't even have to go to those verses, but John chapter 3, when Jesus appears to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. This born again is not just some type of empty title or metaphor, but it is actually the reality of one who is new in Christ Jesus. As Paul writes unto the Corinthians, the second letter, the fifth chapter, that all things are become new. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. So one who is born in Jesus Christ, born of him, born from above, is indeed a new creature. And in this new creation, we live differently than before in deadness of our sins and trespasses. Behold, look around you now. That's what behold means. I have a, I don't know, maybe a, is it a confession? You rate that or judge that when I get done speaking about this verse. For years I have looked at this verse as beholding the manner in which God showed his love to us in Jesus Christ. That's John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved in this manner. But I was very surprised just this week as I read this verse for how many? I could probably say hundreds of times. And I don't believe that's what this verse is saying. As we look around us now in the fellowship of believers, in the context of what John began in the first chapter, the fellowship that we have one with another, where the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's where we are gathered here this morning, in the fellowship of believers. And now we look around about us, and we look at the type of love that God has bestowed or has granted or has given you, that you should be called a son, a child of God. What type of love is this that God has given you that you would be called into his fellowship? Reminds me of the song that says that father love is reigning o'er us, brother love binds man to man. I believe this is the love that John is writing about here now. It's the agape love, the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, and now it is manifest or evidenced in love toward our neighbor. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, upon us, that we should be called the sons of God? We have been included now in this brotherhood with Jesus Christ, who is not ashamed to call us his brother. And in that now, and so we are, and in that now, the world does not know us. The world cannot recognize us because it does not know him. How do we know each other? In the fellowship that we have through Jesus Christ. We don't know each other anymore through the flesh, but we know each other through the Spirit which God has given us, the Spirit which testifies of Jesus Christ. That's the fellowship that we have. And as we can look around now at each other, and we can see that God has loved us to this extent that we can love each other. We love our neighbor. Or you might love me, even though at times I am not very lovable. How is that possible? Other than God has shed his love abroad in our hearts, and then we are empowered, as it were, to love our neighbor as ourself. Beloved, he keeps bringing us back to that. We are loved of God. Those who are loved of God, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. Here's the glorious hope. We know that when he shall appear, that's his second coming, not as it were with the disciples as they were behind the closed doors for fear of the Jews, but now we wait, looking heavenward. Lift up, your redemption draweth nigh. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him in that he is alive forevermore. We shall be righteous as he is righteous, holy as he is holy, immortal. All these attributes of God which have been put on us through the atoning work of Jesus, the death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection. Every man that hath this hope, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life, in him purifieth himself, even as he, that is Jesus, is pure. So often we, maybe especially as Lutherans, we have a certain shyness to approach the area of righteous living. But on the contrary, would we preach something else? Would we just preach that live any way you want? Sin as much as you want, because God's grace is greater than our sin. I just said that. Paul asked that rhetorical question 2 times in the book of Romans, and he answers with a resounding, God forbid. We have witnessed one of those reasons even this morning as we've been baptized into Christ and now we walk in the newness of life. And that we would not serve the devil in our sin. God forbid. So the life of a Christian is an amended life, coming from repentance and daily repentance. Every man that hath this hope, the hope of the resurrection, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Our purification can only be through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Our life is never removed from Jesus Christ as we abide in him. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. This is one of those verses now, you know, verse 1, we can rest in that, but now we come to a verse like this and wonder, what's he talking about? Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. How much sin in your life, in my life, would condemn us? One little tiny, what we call white lie, yes, condemned forever. So then, where do we stand? We stand, of course, in the grace of God, that he has poured out his wrath against sin that was rightly due us. He has poured it out upon his Son, as his Son took our sin and nailed it to the cross. But yet we commit sin. We teach our children. We are reminded of it often that we sin much every day and deserve nothing but punishment. So what's John writing about here now? One who doesn't commit sin and later on one who commits sin. There's a few different ways we could look at this. One is that in the new man, we cannot sin. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We could look at this verse as one who habitually commits sin. One whose life is characterized by his sinful living. Or we could look at it even another way. I think in the context of the fellowship that we have one with another. Jesus gave a great commandment. A great commandment is that you love one another. And if we abide in his love, then we are not committing sin. If we have love for our brethren, sometimes maybe not even evident in our own life, but when you have love for our brethren, love for fellow man, doing that which is right in the sight of God toward our fellow man, we are then not committing sin. We'll get back to that later on in our text. But whosoever committeth sin, whatever this means, this life of sin, whoever commits it, transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin. Later on in this same chapter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God. We can see the love of God. The love of God was manifest in what? Because he, that is Jesus, laid down his life for us, And then in the context of our text, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In him is no sin. He was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without a sin. Whosoever abideth in him, here's this word abiding again, dwelleth in him, sinneth not. If we are abiding in Jesus, Paul tells us we don't sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth not, or sinneth, hath not seen him, neither known him. 1 John 4, verse 12 tells us, no man hath seen God at any time. It seems that John just sort of dropped that out of nowhere. No man hath seen God at any time. What is he saying here? Have any of us seen God? No. How do we serve him then? We are instructed in the word to serve the living God. How do we serve God in whom we have never seen? Beloved, if God so loved us... No, wrong verse. No, well, I will read that. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. We have not seen God, but we see God in our brother as we serve him. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, even as Jesus is righteous. As his righteousness is imputed, given unto us, then we are empowered, enabled to do righteous acts for the benefit of our brother. He that committeth sin is of the devil. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9 together. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Here's a juxtaposition. Big word for you there, huh? One over against the other. He that commits sin is of the devil. He is a slave to the devil. But whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. He is a slave to God. He is freed from sin. Sin no longer hath dominion over you. That's what the Bible tells us. Don't struggle against it. Don't be a slave to sin. Place your life as your life is hid in God, in Christ Jesus. Abide in him. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We sing the wonderful hymns of after Easter, the after Easter hymns, that Jesus has destroyed death, hell, and the devil. We ought then to believe it. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And to prove that the devil was destroyed is that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and ultimately returned to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. And then we cower and we say, poor little me, I'm all alone here, and the devil is assaulting me. And I preach to myself, whosoever is born of God, whosoever is born from above, whosoever is born, as we read already, is born of him, the one that doeth righteousness, doth not commit sin. His life is not characterized by his sinful acts, but rather that he is a preciously redeemed soul, that his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. His name is etched in the very palms of the Savior. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. We remember Jesus speaking of himself, that unless a kernel of wheat falleth into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Remember the parables of Jesus as the sower would go out to sow the seed, the good seed, which is the word of God. Peter writes of this same seed, first chapter. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Here's this same theme again. Unfeigned or unwavering love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and a good seed will produce good fruit. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest. You, dear beloved, saint in Christ Jesus, the children of God, you are manifest. John writes in the 13th chapter, his gospel, should be able to recite this. John 13. Well, I'm going to read a couple verses, actually. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. The children of the devil are also manifest. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And then he explains this. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh, that we by God's strength, God's power, as he gives us through the Holy Spirit, would remain in love, in God's love, showing that love to our brother. That's what Jesus' message was as he left his disciples. First and foremost, that they would preach repentance and remission of sins in my name, beginning here in Jerusalem. And thanks be to God, it continues even unto this day. And then that we would abide in love, in Christ's love, even unto his glorious return. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear gracious God, help us, your dear, preciously redeemed yet weak children. Help us to overcome the wiles of the enemy of the soul, and that we may love our brother. We may love thee, even as your word tells us that you loved us first, and therefore then we can love thee and we can love our brother. Dear Father, continue to shower us with your blessings, which are motivated by your love toward us, manifested in Jesus, who is our love. Help us, dear Father, even unto the end. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.